Emotional Bites. It's not therapy, it's a conversation. Mirror neurons.
They're like the rock stars of neuroscience.
Right. They get a lot of attention.
Because they're so cool. They fire when we do something and when we see someone else doing it.
Exactly. Like a neural copycat.
So if I watch you take a sip of coffee.
Tell me.
The same neurons in my brain would fire as if I was taking a sip myself.
You got it. It's like our brains create this simulation.
Wow. So it's not just passively observing.
Right. It's like we're experiencing it in a way.
That's amazing.
And it helps us understand those actions.
So when I'm completely mesmerized watching a chef chop vegetables like a machine.
I've been there.
My brain is basically like, I want to do that too.
Your brain is totally in on the action.
Yeah.
And it's not just physical stuff either.
Really?
Some research suggests mirror neurons could be involved in emotions too.
Oh, wow.
Like when you see someone genuinely smile and it instantly boosts your mood.
Yeah, totally.
Could be those mirror neurons firing away.
Amazing.
Everyone's tossing that term around, but what's the real scoop? We've got a stack of research papers here, and let me tell you, it seems like there's more to these brain cells than meets the eye.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable stuff when you really dig in.
So walk me through it. What are we talking about here?
For instance, they found that when we just imagine ourselves doing something, like playing air guitar, even without moving a muscle, the same areas of our brains that we use to actually play guitar light up.
Whoa, no kidding. So like a fandom guitar solo happening in our brains.
Exactly. It's like our brains are doing a mental rehearsal using those same neural pathways, but without actually expending the energy to move. And get this might not just apply to actions, but to emotions as well.
Wait, really? Emotions too?
It's possible when we see someone, say, laughing hysterically, our brains might actually be simulating that same feeling of laughter.
Whoa, so like our brains are running a simulation. Almost like a shadow version of the action we're seeing.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just about, you know, basic movements. We're talking about potentially understanding intentions, emotions. Yeah. Some researchers even suggest these mirror neurons might be tied to how language itself evolved.
Okay, hold up. Language evolution. Now we're really going down the rabbit hole.
It might sound like a stretch, but think about it. Early humans, right? They relied heavily on gestures to communicate. What if, and this is the big what if, these mirror neurons, by letting us internally simulate what we were seeing, provided the building blocks? Like, over time, we start attaching meaning to those gestures, and boom, more complex communication starts to emerge.
It's like our brains were prepped for language long before we ever actually, you know, spoke a word.
Yeah.
That's wild. But how do scientists even know what's happening at that level? We're not talking about watching a heartbeat here.
That's where things get really clever. Neuroscientists use techniques like fMRI, which basically measures brain activity. It lets them visually see which parts of the brain light up during different tasks. And what they found is fascinating. Those mirror neurons, they tend to cluster in a region of the brain that's all about planning and executing movements.
So our brains aren't just passively watching. They're potentially getting ready to copy what they see.
It's definitely a possibility researchers are exploring. And it might not even stop at movement. There's some evidence suggesting this whole simulation thing extends to how we understand emotions, too.
Okay, now my mind is officially blown. You're saying our brains might be hardwired to not just understand, but almost feel what others are feeling because of these mirror neurons.
Well, feel might be pushing it a bit at this stage of the research, but it's definitely intriguing. And it gets even more interesting when you look at what happens when someone has difficulty expressing emotions physically.
You mean like with facial paralysis? I've actually been wondering about that, how it all ties in.
There's this condition, Mobius syndrome, where people are born with facial paralysis. And it's fascinating. Some studies have shown that folks with Mobius might have a harder time recognizing emotions in other people's faces.
Wow. So if you can't express an emotion yourself, it impacts how you understand it in others.
It really does make you think about the whole mind-body connection, right? This idea of embodied cognition, that our brains and bodies aren't these separate entities, but they're intertwined, influencing each other in ways we're only just beginning to grasp.
Okay, so we've got mirror neurons, maybe simulating actions, maybe even emotions.
But here's where it gets even wilder. This human mirror neuron system, It wasn't just activated when people watched actions. It also lit up when they simply read sentences describing those same actions.
Hold on, you're telling me that just thinking about an action can trigger these mirror neurons?
That's what it looks like. It suggests our brains are constantly running these simulations, even when we're not directly observing anything.
Like our brains are these little movie studios constantly playing out scenes and trying to guess what's going to happen next.
I love that analogy. It really captures the essence of it.
But if our brains are always in simulation mode, how do we tell the difference between our own intentions and those of others?
One leading theory is that there's this intricate dance happening between mirror neurons and other parts of the brain, like the prefrontal cortex.
The prefrontal cortex, that's the planning and decision-making center, right?
Exactly. It's like the CEO of the brain, responsible for higher-level thinking. And some researchers believe it helps us sort through all those simulated actions and thoughts, separating our own intentions from those we're picking up from other people.
So it's like the prefrontal cortex is the ultimate filter, making sure we don't get lost in a sea of simulated possibilities.
Precisely. It's likely a multifaceted process, this whole intention understanding thing. We're mirroring what we see, but we're also reflecting on those actions based on our own experiences and goals.
It's incredible, isn't it? The more we learn about the brain, the more we realize how much of what we perceive is shaped by our own internal world.
It really is. And it speaks to the incredible complexity and adaptability of the human brain. It's constantly learning, evolving, finding new ways to make sense of the world around us.
Which leads us to another big question. If mirror neurons help us simulate both actions and emotions, are they involved in empathy as well? I mean, that seems like a natural progression.
It does, doesn't it? And it's a question that has fascinated researchers for a long time. The exact role mirror neurons play in empathy is still up for debate, but there's a strong case to be made for their involvement.
After all, empathy is all about understanding and sharing someone else's feelings. And if mirror neurons are allowing us to internally resonate with those feelings, it would make sense that they'd be a key player.
Exactly. And there's a mountain of research emerging that supports this connection between mirror neuron activity and empathy. For example, when we see someone in pain, our brains often show activity in the same areas that light up when we experience pain ourselves.
Whoa, seriously? So it's not just a cognitive understanding like, well, that person is in pain, I should probably offer them some ice. We might actually be tapping into our own neural pathways for pain, allowing us to connect with their suffering on a much deeper, more visceral level.
That's the idea. It suggests our brains are wired for empathy, to truly feel what others are feeling. And this incredible capacity might be deeply rooted in those same sensor motor systems we've been talking about all along.
This is blowing my mind. We've covered so much ground today, from those amazing energy-saving mirror neurons to their potential role in how we learn, connect, empathize. It seems like the more we uncover about these tiny cells, the more we realize just how crucial they are to what it means to be human.
They really are remarkable. And as we continue to peel back the layers of mystery surrounding mirror neurons, I have no doubt we'll gain even more profound insights into what makes us who we are.
I can't wait to see what the future holds for mirror neuron research. But before we wrap up, I want to circle back to this idea of the brain's incredible efficiency. It's clear that mirror neurons are all about maximizing information while conserving energy. But why is that so important? What's the big deal with the brain being thrifty?
That's a great question. And it all comes down to understanding that our brains, while incredibly powerful, are also incredibly demanding in terms of resources.
Right, like giving a supercomputer a run for its money.
Exactly. Even though it makes up a tiny fraction of our body weight, the brain gobbles up a huge chunk of our energy. It's constantly firing neurons, processing information, keeping everything running smoothly behind the scenes. So to manage all that, it's evolved to be incredibly strategic about how it uses those precious energy resources.
So it's like the brain is running a massive corporation, always looking for ways to streamline operations and cut costs where possible.
That's a great analogy. And one way it seems to achieve this incredible efficiency is through what I like to call neural recycling.
Neural recycling. Okay, now I'm really intrigued. Tell me more.
It's simple, really. Why build entirely new systems for things like understanding intentions or emotions when you can repurpose existing ones that are already wired for things like movement and perception? It's all about efficiency.
It's like the brain's version of upcycling. Taking something already available and giving it a new purpose, that's brilliant. But do researchers have any concrete evidence to support this idea?
Absolutely. There have been some fascinating studies that shed light on this. For instance, when we imagine ourselves performing an action, even without moving a muscle, the same brain areas involved in actually performing that action become active, just to a lesser degree.
So it's like our brains are doing a mental run-through, using those same neural pathways without expending the energy required to actually move.
Precisely. And this concept might extend to emotions as well. When we witness someone experiencing an emotion, our brains may be simulating that same emotion using neural pathways that are also involved in experiencing that emotion firsthand.
Okay, now it's all starting to click. This goes back to that mind-blowing idea that our understanding of the world, both the physical actions we observe and the emotions we perceive in others, is deeply intertwined with our own bodies and our capacity to act and feel.
That's it, precisely. It's this fascinating concept of embodied cognition that we touched on earlier. Our brains aren't isolated processors detached from our physical selves. They're shaped by our experiences in the world, by our movements, our senses, our emotions.
It's almost like our brains are building this incredible internal model of the world, this virtual reality simulation based on our own unique experiences, and then using that simulation to navigate and understand everything around us.
That's a great way to think about it, and it really highlights how interconnected our minds and bodies truly are.
This whole conversation has been one aha moment after another, but it does leave me pondering some pretty profound questions. If our brains are so reliant on our own experiences and internal models to understand the world, does that mean there's no such thing as an objective reality? Is it all just a matter of perspective?
That's a question that philosophers have grappled with for centuries. While we can't definitively say there's no such thing as objective reality, what we can say with certainty is that our perception of reality, the way we experience and interpret the world, is undeniably shaped by our own individual experiences, biases, and those internal models we create.
So even though we're all living on the same planet, breathing the same air, we're each experiencing the world through a slightly different lens, colored by our own personal histories and perceptions.
Precisely. Each of us is essentially walking around with a unique set of filters that influence how we process information, interact with others, and make sense of our experiences.
Which brings us back to the importance of empathy, the ability to recognize that those different lenses exist, to step outside our own subjective experiences and try to see the world through the eyes of others.
Exactly. Empathy is about recognizing that just because someone perceives things differently doesn't mean they're wrong. It's about being curious about those different perspectives, trying to understand the experiences and thought processes that might have shaped them.
It's like trying to look through someone else's eyeglasses for a moment, to see how the world comes into focus through their unique prescription. It's a challenge, no doubt, but one that's so crucial for building meaningful connections.
I couldn't agree more. And what's fascinating is that these mirror neurons we've been discussing might play a role in our capacity for empathy, allowing us to simulate not just actions, but emotions and even intentions, which are all essential for connecting with others on a deeper level.
Well, I think it's safe to say we've thoroughly explored the depths of mirror neurons today. These tiny cells have revealed so much about the complexities of the human brain.
I really have. And as research continues to unravel the mysteries of mirror neurons, I have no doubt that we'll gain even deeper insights into what it truly means to be human, to connect with others, and navigate the intricate tapestry of social interactions that shape our lives.
It's been an incredible journey, and I can't wait to see what new discoveries await us in the world of neuroscience. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the mind-boggling world of mirror neurons. Until next time, keep those brains firing and those simulations running. Stay curious and stay true to yourselves.